Nancy, I think what we're trying to do then is to do just that, to explain the Pacifica mission in terms that make sense in the 21st century in the conditions that we face today, and give it a little bit of concreteness. That's basically what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I'm just saying that I'm in agreement that we need to do that, and I think we're kind of going around about what we, you know, we don't all know or agree about what we're calling it, but I think we all kind of agree on what it is, even though we don't.
Yeah, I mean, I think just quoting the Pacifica mission from, you know, the way it was originally written is not enough to, you know, excite people today. We have to explain it.
Yeah,
terms that make sense today.
Yeah, like
that does involve a degree of interpretation.
Tony's on the stack.
That's why I said originally that it's not like this is not we're not like religious fundamentalists and try to read the Bible literally or something like that. Yeah. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, this is a great conversation that I think ties directly to programming, because when Carol talks about how, you know, we should be having programming, public affairs, that invites both sides of a debate, that was Lou Hill's original concept. You know, if you read Matthew Lazar's book on Pacifica, he talks about Lou Hill's originally wanting to do that. And the mission statement says it plainly when he says to gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all of such groups. And so in the book, he talks about how we got away from that primarily because the other radio stations were right-leaning, and they were promoting right-leaning thoughts and concepts. And so, you know, a debate ensued within Pacifica with later management, sometime in the 50s, that we should be, instead of being objective, that we should be subjective as well and represent the left, which does not have a voice in radio. And so it appears that's where we are now. We have all these radio stations out here that are right-leaning, okay, and where you hear very little Democratic conversation. Now, C-SPAN, in my opinion, I listen to C-SPAN in the morning when they take calls, and they are close because they take Democrat, Republican, and what's the third? Independent. They take those calls. So you get to hear from all different sides, and it's very interesting. So if we could get back to something like that, which was the original concept for Pacifica, I think that would improve our listenership. So that's all I have.
Carol for the stick.
Okay, Carol, go ahead.
Does anybody else want to say anything? I can take a break here.
You have the floor.
Okay. Tony, when I debates and stuff, I actually do not think that we should include, except on, you know, maybe on some occasions, really a really right-wing, you know, a Fox News type. I don't want to get into something where we're like, one of those, I can't remember the name of those shows where people were kind of screaming at each other, which could happen in some situations. But, for example, I do think, like, a discussion of free speech which would entail, you know, does Steve Bannon have a right to speak? That kind of thing. I would, in that situation, you know, think that a free speech thing might have somebody like that, unless you could get somebody like me who argues free speech from the left, but still is a free speecher. But anyway, I'm interested in us actually being a voice of people who are not heard and who are absent from the airwaves, you know, people who are farmers who are struggling, or, you know, the people who are, the kids who are in those detention centers, or, and, you know, the water protectors, and also in the climate change movement, for example, that I think there are different attitudes toward what to do, ranging from, you know, do a lot of legislative work, of work in electoral politics, some people who want to hit the streets, and maybe some people who are in favor of everything. But I think what's really missing, and what we have the opportunity, because we're not corporate, and I think a lot of the stuff that's driven by the right wing is really corporate. It's Heritage Foundation, which is funded by rich people, have an agenda to undermine the threads of relationships between those of us who are struggling and have needs and have a different version of what society should look like. As Jan said, something that is a society that is not filled with hate and distrust and violence, but presumes that people have a interest in finding ways to fight for a world or build a world that has good relationships, trusting relationships, and sharing relationships. So, you know, I don't want to have every side represented, but there's a lot of different sides of issues. And what's the relationship of race and class, for example? All kinds of things like that, which are in a spectrum that has to do with progressive, radical movements that are not having conversations with each other and between each other on airwaves so that lots of people can participate and hear. I'm finished.
All right. Let me throw in my two cents here. There's a difference in the political climate in this country and internationally between the time in the late 40s when Lou Hill founded this organization and today. One big difference is in the 1940s, you had something called an intelligent conservative. So it was quite conceivable to have a debate between one of these people and an intelligent liberal or a socialist or some other kind of spokesperson. We don't have intelligent conservatives anymore. What we have are demagogues who are call themselves conservatives, but in fact, the Fox News, that whole mindset is creating really a fascistic mindset in people. There was a very interesting op-ed piece by Paul Krugman in the Times a few days ago called The Blood Libel. I don't know if you read it. I don't often agree with Krugman, by the way. My politics is far to the left of his, but I thought he made an interesting point. He compared the libelous statements of Trump and his administration against immigrants with the blood libels that were used against Jews by fascists in the 1930s. You know, the blood libel was that the Jews drink the blood of Christians on Passover. And Trump is saying all kinds of insane things about immigrants, none of which have any validity. They're complete lies. But they're they're firing up these audiences that he speaks to, and this is the role of the right and what passes for conservatism today. And I think we have a responsibility to stand in opposition to that. We have a country where you wouldn't know it, but almost 50% of young people say they favor socialism, whatever they understand by that. Where do you ever hear that in the news today? It's not a topic of conversation at all. So I think Pacifica has an important role to play here, and we shouldn't. We have to see Pacifica's role in terms of the challenges and the world that we're living in today. Anyway, that's my two cents.
Go ahead, Janice.
Yeah.
Okay. So, do I have the floor?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So, when it comes to going back to debates, I don't think they should be based on political parties, whether you have Republicans versus Democrats or even so-called independents. I don't think the debates on our airwaves should be divided up that way. And there are a lot of shows on, there are a number of shows on KPFA where the position is that it's that the Democrats are the way to go, and even there are people who believe that Hillary Clinton should have been elected, and supporting the Democratic Party, whether it's the Progressive Democratic, the Democrats, or traditional Democratic Party. That's not. I think that. Well, there are people who are thinking beyond electoral politics, because the electoral politics are part of all the, there are narratives, there are stories, both or all of the different political groups, parties, they have their stories, and people align with one story versus another, and they're just stories. I mean, there's all kinds of things beyond that or below, beneath these stories that kind of, and the stories kind of cover up some of what is really going on. And I want to people to be able to hear more about those things. The person who I was referring to who was censored at KPFA was Richard Dawkins, and it would have been better, in my opinion, for him to have been able to speak for himself and then people challenge if they did not like what he had to say, rather than just shutting him off and others off. Debates require a fair moderator, somebody who is very skilled, which, I mean, it's really hard to do to moderate a debate, especially when the debate is really between opposing points of view, because so much of the time a moderator would favor one point of view over another. I'm also, there's also the issue of, people who talked about the Koch brothers. Well, there's also Soros. I mean, on the other side, and I mean, what is left anymore? What does progressive mean anymore? Is it, and what does socialism mean anymore? There is some of that on KPFA. I know some, but not enough, in my opinion. I don't know about the other stations. And part of what this survey. And I had recommended that the survey include all of us learning more about each other's stations and what each one is like and what the programming is like, because all of them are unique, including the internal politics within each station. I know I kind of went all over the place, but I'll stop there.
Joseph Stagg.
Go ahead, Joseph.
Mansoor would like to be after Joseph, please. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. I think We're talking about mission, and what role does the national organization play? What role do the local organizations play? And as has been pointed out, we are legally a central. We are one entity. We are not five different stations and an archives and these kinds of things. This is what we are. But at the same time, I think when we talk about all the programming issues that so many people in this conversation have brought up, these things organically occur from the community from which they spring. And that's why there's such good conversations at those stations. And I think the problem that I see from the financial side of the organization is we might have somebody at a local station who is so adamant about a certain subject that is important to a local community that instead of trying to find volunteers or people who are naturally bringing it up, they would try to purchase people or hire people to do that kind of programming. And I think then we end up trying to spend money that other people make to get programming in a different place. And that's where I think, for as far as what Pacifica should be able to do, we should be providing basically the microphone and the transmitter, and then let the people who want to volunteer and come to them with these organic issues provide that. So that way we'd be fiscally strong as a unit, as an organization, and make sure that each unit takes care of itself but can't go crazy on expenses. But at the same time, we there can be the stations because they're the ones who know what the programming is. But the only role that I see is programming for the national office is things that is providing support for all of the locals, like the archives, or for some programs, like we have Becker's Drug War News and stuff like that, that's become very, very popular, and we can affiliate it out. And so we provide resources for the stations so that they can see something good that will also benefit their community, then fine. We have a place they can grab extra programming and fill in. So that's kind of why I see that it's important that we financially get a good, strong control of the network, get the expenses under control, make sure that we can't buy news. We have to enlist it. And what we're paying for is the ability to get that on the airwaves for people to hear. Thank you.
Hear, hear.
Anybody else?
Yeah, Tony, one last time.
Go ahead, Tony.
I just wanted to be clear that I'm not advocating I think that was Jan that may have said that we should not be taking up. I'm not advocating that we should not be representing the underserved. I'm in total agreement with that, total agreement. The only thing that I was saying related to the programming is that we should be disseminating information on the causes of conflict between any and all groups through any and all means compatible with the purposes of this corporation to promote the study of political and economic problems and causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms. So, for example, if you had two opposing sides at the table, and one side gave their side, their
one
ideology.
Second. Okay. There's an echo. Could everybody please mute except Tom?
Each side gave their philosophy and gave their ideologies. The most logical one should prevail. I think should prevail. You know, given all the information, put out there, full and complete information. I just believe that people, given that information, will change their minds. So if you are, you know, you're a supporter of Trump, of a Trump policy, for example, and I don't mean to be political. This is just general philosophy of an idea. if you support an idea. But once you hear both sides, which a lot of people don't, then that may change your mind. The other thing that could happen is the other side, if their ideology is so ridiculous, they'll fall on their face. Their argument would just fall apart in public. So that's why I think that conversation at the table from both sides could work for Pacifica, no matter what the topic. That's it.
Alex, this is Carol. I'm thinking maybe we should wind up this session, and I'd like to say a couple of things kind of procedurally about the survey. Is that okay? Alex? Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was muted.
Okay.
Let me just have a couple of words, and then I'll give you the floor, Carol.
Okay.
Just one last try at this. I personally would like to see Pacifica be a force in the what we can call the national conversation. That is not going to happen if we're simply relying on local stations. That can only happen if we're a nationwide network. I absolutely believe that. So I don't agree with this idea that we should just let local stations be local stations. It's not going to make any impact on the national conversation, and I think we desperately need to do that. Whether we can do it remains to be seen, but I think we have to try. So that's what I want to say about this. Go ahead, Carol.
First of all, I just want to say this is one of the most rich conversations that I've participated in Pacifica, and I really like hearing what everybody thinks, even people who I, have shades of differences with I think that it was really a great conversation. And I'm very happy it happened. But the second thing is that I really urge people to go and look at the survey. And Tony, you haven't, because you're busy with your life, it's not for you to take yet. It's for you to see if you like the survey and to see if there is any questions you think should be added or taken away and so on. And I also am new to Google Docs, so I don't know whether or not I can see all of Alex's comments, but I don't know if other people can see it. And somebody, Nancy, have you done Google Docs?
I have done it. A couple years ago,
okay.
Editing, co-editing things live. Uh-huh.
I talk about seeing you look at it, see if you can see Alex's comments and so on and so forth. So, because I think it would be good for all of us here to look at it and add things and, have the conversation be more enriched and then figure out how to make the presentation and what we want to give to the PNB, because I think probably the PNB will decide on what they want to have as their own survey. If we can come to some, we can get together over this next week. The next meeting is like a week from Thursday, right?
But,
Carol,
can you just say day after the 4th, July 5th?
Day after the 4th. Okay.
Carol,
right.
Can you resend the invitation to edit because I've gotten the document, but I can't edit it.
Okay.
Can you just resend the invitation to edit so that we
Okay, and I may have not given it to any of the people who weren't at the meeting. So I'll individually put in your emails so that you know Tony and Mansoor and Jan and Tom can all. Am I missing anybody? Can all do any edits or comments?
This is Janet. I actually can see the comments, and I have worked with Google Docs, and I think it's really a great tool.
Good. Okay. All right.
Carol, I was going to suggest that Janet help us with this, but also I had a question. Did we ever agree to like put all the documents that we're working with, like Tony's essay that he just submitted and your survey and Tom's original description of strategic planning, all of that into Google Docs? Did we agree to do that? Because I can put them in there, I think. So
file, because I mean Google Docs is mostly a sharing edited tool. But if you could put them on a Dropbox so that people can't change them but know what they were.
There's a repository we could use that Otis is in charge of.
Yeah, but that's a whole other thing. That's part of the systems thing that I wanted to talk about. But for Google Docs,
you can do
and you can do a number of things with Google Docs. And all you need is the link with Google Docs. I mean, you need to give people access, but it's not a file. You just have a link.
You have to keep track. That they're editing.
Yes.
And then the person that puts it up there decides whether or not they want it to be editable. Is that how?
Right. Or you can share the privileges with others.
Uh-huh.
But I think we don't want Tom's or Tony's to be editable. It's there.
Exactly. Yeah.
In any case, we'll work that off.
Yes.
We can.
So Jan.
All right.
We could take that conversation offline.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Janet, you wanted a report on the systems work group. You had something to say.
Oh, well, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I had sent an email earlier today. And basically with a list of goals that I was proposing the committee or that the working group consists so far of Nancy, Tom Voorhees, and myself, but we haven't really met. There've only been a few email exchanges. So I just wanted to bring the committee up to date about some of the things we probably will be looking at. It consists of six. A list of six separate goals. One, a redesign and implement technical and organizational systems improvements, and that includes website designs and adding more content for public viewing and other kinds of things. And then another goal would be to implement access control and privileges. And other details about that, having to do with all kinds of data, membership data, governance membership data, like the PNB, the LSB, committees, etc., meeting notices, the calendar, things like that, and especially financial and accounting data and systems. But I think that would be handled by the accounting staff. That's kind of separate, but it's related to this whole issue of access controls. And then another goal is computer hardware and software inventories throughout Pacifica. Another is to improve, integrate and upgrade hardware and software platforms to improve broadcasting and outreach to listeners. And that would include social media, live streaming, and other multimedia channels. A fifth would be to budget for financial and administrative technology replacements, upgrades, interfaces, and improvements in equipment and software. A possible replacement for the MEMSIS, the different systems that don't talk to each other, MEMSIS, the what used to be Great Plains, I think it's called Microsoft Dynamics GP, budget software, and put that into a single platform or have it somehow in a single-ish platform to centralize it. And in any case, and then also part of that would be a data repository for documents like what Nancy, you know, what we've been developing here, and also any contracts and the loan, you know, all different
minutes.
Documents that we have.
Resolution.
Sorry?
Resolution.
All kinds of things. Then also there's been some talk about improving the meeting software and systems, and then also looking at phone systems, our phone systems, can those be improved, whether it's by centralizing them or anyway, to budget for all this kind of thing. And then finally, locating or, if necessary, develop disaster recovery plans and backup schedules for all Pacifica equipment. I don't know if that exists right now, but one of the comments about this list was that to do all these things requires resources, and that is true, and that also would cost money. So prioritizing these, and there was a suggestion that the one to budget for financial and administrative technology issues would be maybe the highest priority, but I'm not sure. I mean, I think maybe working with our systems to do outreach and in whatever way we can, outreach and get in more listeners, therefore more money, et cetera, to raise revenue, basically. All right, I'll stop there.
Okay. Thank you, Janet. So we don't actually have any report from the programming work group. I guess that's partly my fault. I was supposed to call it, and I didn't get a chance to. Who else is on the programming work group?
Me and Tom Livingston.
Yep. Okay. Well, let's meet this week sometime, and so that we have something that we can present to the committee. And the finance work group has not met, correct?
That's correct.
Well, let me just throw out some ideas that the finance work group might want to discuss. And here's one of them. Should our priority be to amass some kind of an escrow account where we collect funds in order to pay off the loan as soon as possible? Or here's another possibility. Should our priority be to get our financial house in order in general? And that means completing our audits, seeing if we could be eligible for CPB funding, improving our credit rating so that perhaps instead of paying off the loan in 18 months, why don't we see if we're in an improved situation, refinancing it at that time if we're in substantially better financial shape. Might be something the Finance Committee might want to think about. Or the Finance Work Group, excuse me.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Carol for the stack.
It was just a question. Go ahead, Carol.
I have no opinion on what I'm going to say. It's just a thought. I think that there should be some calculating to see whether or not some fundraising is better used paying down the loan than, we have to, of course, pay what we owe, but setting aside more money may be useful to sometimes pay down rather than set aside. That's just a thought.
Agree.
But a counter argument might be instead of paying down the loan, whatever money we have set aside, invest it in our future and in our growth so that we're in a position where we don't have to worry about the loan. Because we actually have pretty good terms on this loan. It's a lot cheaper paying off this loan than it is than all the fines we're having to do with the pension fund that we owe, for instance.
True that.
Anyway, just something to think about. I'm not making any statements here.
Nancy to the stack.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Yeah, I think these are great ideas. I'm on this group too, and I think oftentimes there is a combination of all these tricks or, you know, all these different techniques of dealing with the finances, refinancing if we qualify, getting money to pay it down ahead of time. We do need to pay. If we don't have enough money to pay it all off, we need to be in a position where we would be eligible to refinance. Hopefully we can pay it off and hopefully we can pay it off. That's the goal, but if we can't, we need backup strategies. And we also need to be able to come up with the interest ourselves in 18 months. So I think, you know, considering setting aside that interest to make sure we have another 18 months before we have to pay off everything, coupled with maybe paying down some of it, like we already paid off a big chunk of it. We already paid off. I mean, we didn't take that, you know, big large amount because we didn't have the collateral for it. Our loan is already reduced from what we originally were going to get by $500,000. So, you know, we might come into some big money like that, you know, hopefully. And, you know, if we say that if we prioritize these different strategies for dealing with this debt and also our other debts, then I think we'll be ready to manage them better.
Janet.
Tony.
Okay, Janet, then Tony.
Okay, so the reduction in the loan was only at the expense of the sale of the Nakupon building, partly. It wasn't that this money came from some donor or something. It was at the loss of something that we were able to reduce the loan. So, the idea of investing in a whole bunch of things in order to, in the hopes that those things will bring in money to pay off the loan. I mean, these are all hopes. Investing involves spending money, and we don't have the money to spend on anything more. I mean, where would money come from to do certain kinds of things? You always have to ask that question. Oh yeah, let's invest in this or that, but the money has to come from somewhere. We don't have the money to pay back. Can somebody mute, please? We don't have money to pay back. The loan for one, of course, but other debts that we have, we don't, and other accounts payable, we don't know what we owe for a number of the accounts payable. So we have to find out how much money we owe and then how much money we actually have to just pay operating costs as well, no less some additional expenditures, investments. I'm done.
Well, clearly we need some accounting of we need a budget to work on if we're going to make intelligent decisions about financing. So that goes without saying. I think, Tony, you were next.
I think yes, it goes with saying because we haven't had budgets.
I understand that, yes.
Can I speak now?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just curious if the finance group is exploring the issue of advertising.
Mansoor, I guess that would come under our...
Yeah, please send an email to me or to the subgroup of finance and we'll bring it up.
Okay, yeah, because I think we definitely need new listeners, and which means we must find a way to advertise. I think advertising could pull us out of the red and get us the money that we need. With the programming that we currently have and the potential programming changes coming down the road. So please, if we can. We've been in discussion at WPFW with one of the LSB members who is an IT adjunct professor at one of the universities, and she is currently setting up a Facebook page. Not a Facebook page, but a Facebook news feed. So she's building a social media platform for the radio station to so that we could promote events and just promote the station in general. And she quoted a price, or we did one event already that cost us $30 for one day of advertising on Facebook newsfeed. So that is an outstanding advertising price there, and hopefully other Pacifica stations could maybe look into that avenue of social media since it's so inexpensive.
Thank you.
Carol for the stack.
Go ahead, Carol.
What I understood you to be saying, Tony, is that we do some advertising so that we get our name out there and so on. And I have no objection to that at all. And also, I think that we should be, because we're such an interesting group, that we should be seeing if we could solicit some interest in writing something about us. You know, Matthew Lazar has done stuff in the past in The Nation. I've talked to him recently, and I think doesn't have the energy and time, given what else is on his plate, to pursue that for us. But I think maybe we could see if we could find some somebody somewhere who and pitch a some kind of look at us that is newsworthy. And I think that that probably can be done. I can't come up with it off the top of my head, but anyway, I hope it can be done, because then we can get some free advertising really in the circles in which, you know, the people who would be interested in reading about us are the people who would be probably interested in listening to us. So there's that. On the, I think that we have to at some point have, and I think this was begun somewhere, and I don't remember where, but we have to have a conversation about underwriting. KPFA is absolutely adamantly against underwriting, although I have heard, or historically has been, I have heard some people saying they have a softer position on it now if it's very carefully defined and so on. So that's just another topic I think we want to take up at some point. So I'd just like to, you know, bookmark that or whatever you call it. So thank you. That's it.
That's a good idea for book authors.
Okay.
We are discussing that in the mission and governance work group. We will be anyway. It's a subject. One thing I'd like to pose to the finance work group, I would like to see some concrete proposals coming out of this group. One of my favorite proposals would be to ask each of the general managers to come up with a realistic plan for increasing revenue by 10% over the next fiscal year. Is that doable or not?
To ask them?
To ask them? Well, who else is going to do it? Yeah,
it's certainly doable to ask them.
It's the responsibility of the managers, and we want to get a plan from them. And I don't think that's a completely unrealistic goal. But anyway, that would be something I would want to see coming.
Yeah. Better than going down 10%.
Well, that's for sure.
I mean, with, you know, I think, you know, some people, I mean, sometimes you have to look at how programming is going to affect your revenue, you know. And
absolutely.
You have to make some programming decisions that that maintain stability and don't lose money, rather than, you know, like, you know, you have to set the timing of when you do programming changes, because it is going to, you know, with respect to fund drives or whatever else, if, you know, at least in the near future, we're going to be depending on fund drives until we come up with other models for getting revenue. That we, you know, need to get away, you know, we need to get away from the on-air fund drives, but in the meantime, you know, we're still dependent on them, and we will be to a certain extent continually dependent on them. And so, to answer your question, yeah.
We also want the managers to know that we need some changes, and we can't just sort of go on the way we have been going on. That applies to every station. It'll apply to some stations more than others, but it'll apply to every station. We need some changes if we're going to dramatically increase revenue.
Janet,
Carol on procedure.
Could
I just make one quick?
We only have 3 minutes left for this meeting.
Could I make one quick comment?
Go ahead.
Okay, so I think kind of hand in hand with raising money, finances should be membership. That we need to increase membership at all stations. So how to do that, and that I would recommend that be included in whatever the general managers are asked to do to raise revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Also to raise the membership. I'm done.
Okay. Can I, on procedure?
Yep.
I'd like to ask if the work group, since we don't have to post a week in advance because we're just a work group, could meet on Thursday night, the governance and mission, and we could have the authority to finalize whatever it is we send out to the PNB ahead of time for the looking at some sort of version of the survey, if that's all right with people.
Nancy, when is the next PNB meeting?
The 5th.
The 5th.
July 5th.
July 5th. Okay, so we will not be meeting before then.
Right.
I don't think we need to. I believe the urgent thing that we have right now is the audit set up, you know, with the new auditor. The audit committee is in the process of choosing an auditor, and I think it's in the bylaws that that has to be done, and that's going to happen. I think Tom will be taking care of that. I don't think it is supposed to come up for a PNB vote, because what if they voted against not hiring an auditor that the audit committee recommended? So I think
it's the audit committee's job to do that.
It's their purview. Yeah.
I don't think so, but that's not a discussion here. I think it's
if the PNB needs to weigh in on that, then we need to have a meeting Thursday. But and it should be in closed session. But
all right.
The PNB. By according to the California Corporation Code, it's the purview of the audit committee to do this.
I don't think that's accurate. Okay. But anyway, that's not a discussion for here.
It's not a discussion for this committee in any case.
Right.
Okay. All right. I guess I think we're out of time.
Well, yeah. This is Janet addressing Carol's point of
question. Yeah.
Go ahead. If you can make it quick, go ahead.
Well, yeah. What I understand Carol was saying was that whatever the working group comes up with on Thursday, and I don't even know if, well, whether that's available to all of us on the working group, that would then be presented to the PNB the following week. And I guess...
It would be presented to the PNB after Thursday for them to look at and decide what they want it to be look like, and they can put it on the agenda and change it ourselves.
Put it on the agenda for the 5th. My point is that I think that it would be too rushed, that we should at least look at it again ourselves on the 9th.
All right. Well, I mean, the choice is, should we bring it back to the Strategic Planning Committee one more time, or should whatever we do on Thursday, should we just send that directly to the PNB?
Right.
If there's a difference of opinion on that, let's just take a vote.
I move that we bring it back to the Strategic Planning Committee on the 9th.
I don't care. Okay. We don't have to have a vote. If people feel that way, let's just do that.
Okay. I don't see the need to rush it either. We could come back and for another discussion, another round on the 9th. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay. This meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Bye.
Good night.
Thanks, Tobias.